This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Later on, we're going to be talking about an effort to better equip Texas teachers and make them better educators. But first, a conversation with comedian Bill Burr. Burr is one of the hottest stand-up comedians in America today. He's also making with the funny on his popular Monday morning podcast and with his Netflix animated series, F is for Family, which was recently renewed for a second season. He's also a popular frequent guest on late night talk shows and is a click favorite on YouTube. But Burr says he's still at heart a stand-up, and he's committed to his craft. He'll be performing two shows in San Antonio on April 9th at the Majestic Theater. But with so many ways to access the Bill Burr comedy experience, I wanted to ask him about why an entertainment seeker would buy a ticket and venture out to see him perform live. So I want to talk a little bit about why go see Bill Burr or any comedian live in person, and how that is a so much more enriched experience.
I don't know. Would you rather watch your favorite band or go see them live? I mean, I don't know. It all depends on what you want to do. I'm into the live experience because, you know, every one of my shows is going to be different. The interaction with the crowd, just being there, watching somebody just working out jokes rather than having it all be done, you get to see the whole art of it.
And it is an art of the stand-up in the most raw form of stage demonstration performance.
As far as the mainstream arts, I would say it's one of the more raw ones. But you know, there's always somebody else going raw, going harder. It depends on how deep into this entertainment stuff you want to delve into. I mean, there's people that cut themselves on stage all the way down to, you know, deviant stuff. So I don't know.
Sure,
it's a fun job. I absolutely love doing it. And I love that people come out to see me. And I always make sure, you know, I always make sure when I'm working on a new hour, I always make sure it's at a certain point before I would ever charge anybody a nickel to come and see me. I mean, I do a zillion shows out here in Los Angeles. I do free shows at this theater down the street from where I live, and I just keep workshopping it, getting it up to speed. And then I start doing clubs and small theaters and keep the ticket prices down. And you can't ever screw over your fan base because I've been on the other side of that. And it's, you know, you don't go back to see the artist, so.
Yeah, some comedians, they come on strong, and then they burn out, or they run out of material, or they find out that there's only so much interesting about this individual, and the comedian has to figure out a way to make sure that their brand remains interesting and relevant.
I just know for me, I would just say that I just keep trying to improve on the skill sets that I have as a comedian and try to add other ones in and whatnot. So as far as what you just said, I hope I never figure out how that works, because that would mean I would start to not sell tickets. And I've been through that the first 15 years of my career.
Right, yeah. So, you know, interviewing comedians is very hard because they don't want to, they know that they've got some sort of magic. It's not that they're afraid of self-examination. It's just that they know that too much of it may not be, you don't look at a joke too hard.
No, it's not what it is. It's you talk to enough reporters and you find that any slightly honest that could be perceived as negative thing that you do, they're going to blow it out of proportion because there's so much competition now. That's the fear. Not saying you're going to do that, but it's like, you know, what you ask me very easily gets spun into. Bill Burr says this comedian isn't selling tickets because he didn't or she didn't, blah, 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 blah. That happens all the time. So you got to go a little Bill Belichick.
But so you talk about all the competition. There's a lot of competition for comedians, and you are probably the top one now in the country, I think, as on the edge and talking about things that are really interesting live across the... How did you find your lane as this is where Bill Burr is going to exist and this is what people want from me?
You know how you find your own lane? It's that frustrating thing of like, you know, like meditating. Meditating is like, you got to let go. You got to let go. And if you're always just like been trying to control things, it's such a hard thing to do. And it's the same thing with like, finding, like, whatever the hell they say, your voice and all that. It's all, you do it by not trying to do it. You just go up there, and rather than looking at your act, going, where is the through line here? You do it by just going up and just saying what you think is funny. And the more you do that, the more you're just you. I've said this a bunch of times in interviews, that whole finding your voice thing, I think every comedian, the first time they go to their first open mic, when they're waiting to go on stage, they already have their voice. And then when they get called up on stage, in that walk up there and grabbing the microphone out, they lose it. Because, you know, when you were just the funny guy at school or the funny guy in a bar, you weren't thinking like, okay, should I make fun of this? Is this in my palette of comedy? Will my fan base like this? You didn't. You were just being you. And that's all finding your voice is it's just you being you.
Sure.
I don't know. Like you have to sit around and think about how to be you. Like as you go, hey, I'm going to order a coffee. Now, how do I do this? Do I order by pointing with my right hand or should I have my left hand on my hip? But that's what performing is. Is all of a sudden you're in front of a group full of people and you immediately get self-conscious. And it's weird. And you're the only person talking. You're speaking into a microphone. You're hearing your voice amplified for the first time. And it doesn't sound like what you hear in your head. And it becomes a zillion things to think about. And what you become is like this adult version of an awkward teenager at his first dance. And you remember your first date, all the dumb stuff that you said. And then afterwards you're thinking like, oh God, why did I say that? Like, that's what learning how to perform in front of people is. And then, you know, the more you date it or the more you do your thing as an artist, the more relaxed you are, the more you just become yourself. And then all of a sudden there's like no difference for the most part of you on stage versus off stage. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around me if I was going to behave. I, first of all, I couldn't even keep up that level of energy for an entire day. But I mean, it's definitely an amplified version of yourself, but it is you.
It is yourself, yet it is drawn from yourself and then and packaged up. And then when you get off stage, you have to kind of recompile who you are, the person not on stage anymore. And it's still the same person, but not the
there's
performer.
There's no, that's once again, you don't have to think about it. You're just you. You just did your job. It's like being a dentist. You get off stage, you don't have to, like, you know, off stage. You get out of office, you don't have to, like, think, like, all right, now this is me not being a dentist. You're still a dentist. I'm still a comedian. But my thing after stage is I like quiet before and after. Like, when I'm done with the show, like, I want to go to a quiet place. I don't want to go back to the lonely hotel room. But, like, the guys I go on the road with will, I usually, like, if I see the Beautiful People bar versus a Hole in the Wall, I go to the Hole in the Wall because I want to be able to sit down. I don't want music to be loud and just hanging with friends. And I want to listen to what they have to say because I just listened to my own voice for over an hour and I've pretty much had enough of that.
In this era, the Trump age, people are putting a lot of expectations on comedians to political experts and also to have all this insight and they drill down on everything they say as if it was a reinterpretation of the Constitution. Do you feel that?
Do I feel what? A pressure?
Well, I mean, I know that the day after the election, you were on Conan O'Brien and you said that there's no difference. Okay, folks, I'm sorry. You know, if you're crying that Hillary lost, get over it. We got Trump. It's going to be okay. And then people were like jumping on you after that. And I'm saying, give the guy a break because it's just Bill Burr talking.
Yeah, but the only difference between that now and then, before whatever, is just that people now, you just now have the ability to hear what people are saying in living rooms. And most people aren't saying anything. Most people aren't even watching it because there's so many channels. And right now it's really hard to get anybody's focus. You know, you need as many eyeballs as you can so you can charge the most for advertising so you can make the most money. So what they do is they create these controversies that are not controversies. It's a small segment of the population. You know, 40 tweets saying you're offended about something will be enough to possibly get you some sort of coverage. Maybe it's more than 40, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's lazy journalism. Because they're not going to go after the real stuff because it's all sewn up. Fox News and CNN, there's no difference between either one of them other than their political leanings. But as far as their inability to have any sort of to ever delve into talking about the heroin epidemic in this country, fracking, population control, the war, what's in our food, they're not going to touch any of that because that's all their money. That's all their money, advertising and all of that. You're talking about, you know, fossil fuels. You're talking about pharmaceuticals. You're talking about the war machine, people who make money off of that. Those are all the guys that are lining their pockets, so they stay away from all of that. However, if a comedian goes in and does a Trump joke or a Caitlyn Jenner joke or, you know, in a strip mall, they end up like they act like the sky is falling, and they use that as a pivot point to discuss, quote, you know, social issues. And it isn't. It's just a giant distraction, which might be a good thing because all those other problems are so damn big, and I certainly don't have an answer for them. But like, I just think that's, you know, it just became another way to get people to come to your website or watch your TV show for a couple seconds to act like the sky was falling because a comedian made a joke. But I even feel like that's gone away because comedians figured out, and even like the industry figured out, whenever they have, you know, the soccer mom outrage, all you have to do, you just ride it out, you know, just hang in there for 24 hours to 72 hours. And it's going to, they'll move on to something else from a Bill O'Reilly or a Wolf Blitzer. Like they so clearly lean to one side. It's
right. You'll be hyperventilating 24/7.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, they're constantly keeping you in this state of anxiety makes me, it's like, I you know, I'm not good. I can barely get through a horror movie. I can't stand watching horror movies. I don't want to watch the news that's talking about something that's actually a real event.
Yeah, and so people are in this state, and then they say, I want to laugh. I want to be entertained. I want to go see someone like Bill Burr.
I think people always want to laugh, and I think that's why comedians are doing so well. I think the reason why comedians have been able to survive is because you can make somebody laugh in like 8 seconds, and that does really well on YouTube with people's attention spans. Now you can make a short, quick video. And also the way comedians, you know, are always turning over material. It's going to be a new experience. It's weird. Like, this is sort of a giant time of massive ADD when it comes to entertainment, and comedians exist on ADD. Like, that is our entire mind. That is,
Bill Burr is a stand-up comedian that's crushing it these days. He's got stand-up specials. He's showing some acting chops. F is for Family is his Netflix animated show, and he produces his Monday morning podcast. Burr will be performing in San Antonio, two shows on April 9th at the Majestic Theater. When we come back from the break, the nonprofit Educate Texas is looking to help teachers help more students. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.